You are listening to the Susan Brender podcast, and I am Susan Brender. I'm Susan Brender, and this is the Susan Brender podcast. Today, my guest is Patsy Gill, and this is a Patsy with a Z. Just keep that in mind. She's the creator and host of a nationally syndicated radio show, Joy on Paper. The program, which has just celebrated its 7th anniversary, is the leading program for the country. And I want to welcome Patsy Gill on the Susan Brender podcast.
Thank you, Susan. It's so wonderful to talk to you, and thank you for inviting me to join you today. It's an honor to be on the leading podcast for baby boomers and seniors in the country.
Well, I really have to agree with you. I'm not going to say anything bad about my show because, yes, you're right. It's the baby boomer show that is so impressive and so important for people to learn. So here it goes. Patsy, I wanted you to have a talk about reading public and to have you provide my audience with your joy sites or your insights, if you will, about what people are reading. What do you think they're reading now? What is the number one book?
Well, you know, it's funny. After this pandemic, during the pandemic, people were asking me, what should I read? What can I somehow get my mind on something else? And so we went through a whole series. A lot of people turned to cozy mysteries, which are relaxing. Some people turn to thrillers, which really keep your mind going. And then fantasy has really taken off in a big way. A lot of people are into fantasy, and it's been fun to see the progress of that market. But the important thing is, you know, what I do on Joy on Paper is I open up the lines to all sorts of writers so that there's absolutely going to be some author that will just click with one of my listeners. And sometimes it, for example, is a business book. I might have a very important CEO talking about his life, and suddenly I will get an email from one of my listeners and say, oh, thank you. I was trying to think, what should I do with my life? And you brought me just the person who inspired me to, you know, just start a business finally.
Yeah, Patsy, when people ask you, what should I do with my life, there's a reason. I mean, 2 years they've been really suffering, and they've had nothing to do. They were locked in their houses. There was so many things that were creating a real mental issue for them. But you have found a way for them to really get excited, and you're doing your passion, which is my question to you. Is this passionate, what you're doing?
Oh, yes. You know, it's very funny. I started reading when I was 3 years old, like Beatrix Potter, who wrote the Peter Rabbit tale. She was reading complete books at the age of 3, and so was I. At the age of 5, my first big book was a Perry Mason paperback that my mother was reading. So I was reading at a level way advanced. And from that day on, I was always collecting books. As I was reading, I would collect books. I never threw a book away. And through years and years of travel, as I went around the world, I bought books wherever I went. Finally, when I was overseas for 10 years. When I came back to America, what I brought back was a container of books. I had 6,342 books when I came back to the United States.
Wow. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you. You just said your whole life is about reading. But what happened during the 2 years when the libraries were closed and schools weren't letting the kids learn without masks? And if they had to, you know, try to read a book, it was not so easy. So what did you do then, and what did you tell your audience?
Well, the wonderful thing in this day and age, of course, is the availability of books, that we can really order books online, get them sent in. And, for example, Amazon, you can actually read book for free just by joining one of their programs. So there's many opportunities for reading. If you know, one of the things I tell people have to really make that effort to find the books to read, but then also why not start writing? And one of the wonderful things that has happened during the pandemic, I have had many people who started writing for the first time in their life. They had been dreaming about writing. You know, when I start my program, every day when I started my program, I open my program with the line, "This is Walk Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book." And so that whole concept of dreaming of writing, sit down and start writing. And I have had a remarkable outpouring from listeners who said, "Yes, finally I'm writing. I've picked up a piece of paper. I listened to you." Many times, over the years when I first started, people would say, "Oh, well, I'll start writing when I retire. I'll start writing, you know, when I get a good computer, I'll start writing." And I explain that you don't need anything. All you need is a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, and you sit down and you start writing and you develop this joy. Well, that's why I named the program Joy on Paper. Because when you write and when you see your words on paper, no matter what they are, you start feeling that joy of seeing your work. And so I've had a lot of kids who are starting to write. Before this pandemic, of course, I used to go around to schools and to Sunday school groups, and I would bring a lot of books because I get a lot of free books from publishers and encourage them, you know, to read those books, but also to write.
Yeah. Do you prefer to read fiction or nonfiction, and what is better for kids? Well, because nonfiction is very difficult to understand if you're a kid particularly, but on the other hand, it teaches you, it educates you, it tells you so much about a situation that's going on at that particular time. So what books do you recommend for young people?
For young people, I recommend Nat Geo books. All of the Nat Geo kids books are nonfiction, but they are so well written with beautiful photographs and absolutely wonderful text, very informative, lots of fun to read. That's why every month, actually, I have a Nat Geo book on, an author from one of the Nat Geo series, and whether it's science or oceanography, whatever the kids are interested in, Nat Geo write book for them. And so my biggest go-to is always Nat Geo books. As a matter of fact, I try to encourage people that they don't have a child in their life to buy a Nat Geo book and send it to their local children's hospital or to St. Jude's or Shriners, because kids need these books.
Yes. You know, I'll tell you something, Patsy. Years and years ago, I participated in a special program that was reading for people in hospitals. Now, this was one of the most wonderful things, because when you're sick and when you're really in a situation where you can't really do things for yourself, if you have a reader by the bedside, there's nothing better than that. Have you ever done something like that?
Well, I haven't actually participated in, you know, sitting with somebody in a hospital reading, but I do give away a lot of books. For example, one of the things I like to do is to give books to Operation Paperback, which sends books to military families and to people who are serving overseas. That way I know that the books are getting to people who really need them and really enjoy them, and that's called Operation Paperback, and people can look that up online. That is a wonderful way to help people who want to read.
Yeah. You know, you talked about the fact that you called your reading program, or your program, I assume that is a podcast, am I correct?
No. I'm a nationally syndicated program. When I started my program on March 17th, 2015. I had not had any experience in radio. I didn't know anything about radio. I had never even thought about doing radio. I got the idea one morning when I was on the way to the hospital. My husband had knee surgery, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, I was driving to see him, and because he woke up in the middle of the night and he was hungry and he didn't want graham crackers. So I was running over to the hospital with hot coffee and cinnamon rolls, and I was listening to an interview on the radio, and I knew the author, I knew the book, and I thought the interview wasn't very good. So by the time I got to the hospital, by 4:15, I already said to myself, well, I have to do a radio program because I would really be good at interviewing authors. So by noon that day, I went to the hospital, saw my husband, went home by noon. I had the idea for the radio program. I had the name for the radio program. I named it Joy on Paper because me, the joy is both the writing and the reading. So yeah. I came out with the entire idea for the program. Now, I had no experience, and I had nothing. I knew nothing about publishing, but I looked around, and I found a local radio station, Tantalk Radio Network, here in Clearwater, Florida. And I called up the station. I said, you know, I'd like to come in and talk about doing a radio program. And when I arrived, they ushered me in to see the owner. Now, I mentioned to her that I had just moved from Texas recently, and somehow I think she thought I had a radio program. I told her all about my radio program, Joy on Paper, a program for writers, and she looked at me, and this was on February 25th, and she looked at her calendar, desk calendar. She said, well, I have an opening. You can start on March 17th. It's a Tuesday. Now, I was just there to find out some information about how radio programs work. I was shocked when I discovered, whoa, she slotted me in. So I had 3 weeks here and get ready to do a radio program on, you know, a major radio station here in the Clearwater area. And I did it. I did it. I had to come out with everything, the music, all sort, you know, everything that goes along with a radio program, things that most people, people work months and months to prepare for a radio program, sometimes years. But I had it all done, and 3 weeks later, it turned out it was St. Patrick's Day. It was a Tuesday. It was St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. And that's it. I was on the air. And for 1 day a week, I had a program 1 day a week. But by 2 weeks later, people started to say, well, you have to be on more. We want more. 2 months later, I expanded, and I was on 2 days a week. So now I'm on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and that's here in the Tampa area. I'm on Tantalk, and they have stations. They have 3 a.m. stations, I think 4 FM stations now, quite a few stations. Also, I started getting picked up by other stations in Florida area and around the country. So within a year or so, I was on quite a few radio stations. And then on my second anniversary of Joy on Paper, Francis Battaglia, the owner of a radio station in Arizona, contacted me and wanted me to be on his radio station, which was really great because it's a major radio station. And I was given a time slot in the afternoon leading into Michael Savage's program. So that was on 1100 KFNX in Arizona. So it's a you know, syndicated radio program, not a podcast.
Well, that's really interesting. You must have a story. In fact, to your point of loving what you do, I'm very interested in knowing one of the stories that you really have as a result of you doing all these programs, because there must be something funny or something sad, something interesting. Tell the audience a little bit about one of the stories that you have that you said to yourself, gee, I love doing this. This is the greatest thing in the world. So I'm interested in knowing what is a story that you could tell our audience right now.
Well, there are so many. I think of Joy on Paper as a tapestry filled with these golden threads that connect me to so many authors. For example, I had been doing the radio program for 3 months, and I had managed to get some authors. I had managed to find talk to a New York agent. And then one day I got a call And it was like really my first call, and the person said, you know, I'm calling from the library, and I was wondering if you would like to talk to Poet Laureate. And I thought it was like a joke. I thought, what? First, when she said library, I immediately thought of a public library, that perhaps I had an overdue book or something. And then when she said Poet Laureate, I thought, well, and then she explained, I'm from the Library of Congress, and the Poet Laureate of the United States was being appointed, and we were wondering if you'd like to interview him. Well, I mean, I had only been doing the radio program for 3 months. I was like, why are they calling me? I didn't know.
And I'll tell you something, Patsy, as I listened to you, one of the questions that I was going to ask you is about poetry, because I find that there are so many people who write poetry, whether it's a little blurb of words or whether it's a long poem, because somehow everybody can really do it. It's not that hard, and it really kind of explains how they feel or what they're thinking, and it's just marvelous, and kids could do it as well. So I'm a great
believer in poetry. As a matter of fact, so, you know, this woman said, would you like to interview the Poet Laureate? He's just nominated to the job. He's going to start in a few weeks, and we'd like you to interview him. I said, okay. And I hadn't been keeping up with the Poet Laureates, and so I like, who is it? And she said, it's Juan Felipe Herrera. Now, this was such a miracle, really, when you think about it. Of all the poets in the world that could have been named, or all the poets in the United States, Juan Felipe Herrera was a poet that I had seen when I first went to Berkeley in California, and he was reading poetry at the time. He was a hippie. I was a hippie. He was a hippie, and he was reading poetry on the street corners and collecting money in a hat. He was young and gorgeous, and he was just, it was amazing. His poetry was amazing. I was very young at the time, but he was surrounded by all these girls listening to his poetry. Now, the odds that of all the poets in the world, he would be the one selected. Of course, I didn't talk to him, because even at that time, people already knew he was a rising star in the poetry world. So I interviewed him, and at the end of the interview, I said to him, you know, I know you had a rambler, and he looked at me. I mean, his voice stopped, and he said, "What?" And I said, "Well, you had a rambler when you were at Berkeley, and I had a rambler," and there we are after 30 years. I had this connection to the Poet Laureate of the United States.
Isn't that amazing?
Connections to the authors I talked to. Because I lived overseas for so many years and traveled so widely, whether it's a David Baldacci book and he's got it set in a hotel where I stayed, or a restaurant that I've eaten in, or flying on the Concorde, I've done this. That's why interviews for me with authors are so easy, because in many cases, not only do I know their books very well, I've been to the places that they're writing about.
Yeah, and give yourself a little credit. I mean, listen to the way you speak about authors and the way that you love to interview them. It sounds like, again, I want to say your passion is coming out, because listen to the exact people who you've interviewed, who wouldn't be happy doing that? Now, it's interesting to hear you talk about this, because I want to tell you a little story, okay? One day, I was at the New York Public Library, and in front of the library, there was a man sitting at a table, and in front of the table, there were a whole bunch of books, and I went over to him, and I said, "What are you doing here?" I mean, it was in the winter, it was freezing cold, and the guy was selling books in front of the library. So what he said to me, he told me his story. And it turns out that he came from someplace in the Midwest. He jumped on a train, and he felt the same as you felt and many of your authors. he started writing the story about all his travels on trains. And then he said to me, and I made it into my first book, and I'm trying to sell it, and this is the best place, and they're letting me do it. And I interviewed him later, and now he's even writing plays. So, you know, when you write, when you read, when you learn all the stories that people can tell, it's really a miracle, as you said, because then you can even go higher. And his situation was he started writing plays. So I'm just curious, is there any in your future, what do you see for yourself? There must be something that you see happening that really follows up on some of the things that you're doing that is so great.
Well, you know, I was a writer of scripts. I worked in Hollywood for a while. I adapted other people's books for scripts. Three of my own scripts were optioned, and they appeared in the Hollywood Reporter. So I had that script writing experience. And when I started, you know, the program, I didn't know anything about book publishing. I didn't know the problems, really, that authors have of promoting their books. It is not easy. Even for famous authors, you know, Mary Higgins Clark was on my program many times. Now, she was, you know, at the top of the pinnacle. Everybody knew Mary Higgins Clark. She sold millions and millions of books. But even for her, as the years went by, it got more and more difficult to promote books because publishers don't do those big promotions that they used to. Now they depend a lot on the authors to do the work. They want authors to have platforms. They want authors to do Facebook. They want authors to do the publicity that publishers used to do.
That's right.
I discovered this, and that's one of the reasons why on Joy on Paper, I do these. I got together with three wonderful writers, and I have them do what I call book buzz promos, 2-minute promos for books. So we select the authors that we want to promote, the books that we love, and I have three people, Devon Miller, Rita Moreau, and Bria Burton. They are all very talented authors in and of themselves, so they know the importance of promoting books. We do these book buzzes, and we give them free to authors to use on their social media to promote their books, and I play them every chance I get. So, for example, Sue Grafton, who passed away, we did a book promo for her. She's long gone, but I still advertise her book because I don't want people to forget when there's a great book. I want them to remember it, and I do the same for Mary Higgins Clark. And for all the authors' books, I really want to help promote.
You know, I'll tell you something, Patsy. One of the things that is really interesting is that still years and years, I mean, we're talking thousands of years ago, Shakespeare was a writer and certainly very popular. And even today, everybody reads his books, from high school kids to college kids to adults. And you say to yourself, even though the language is so difficult, why would they want to read books of Shakespeare? But there is a gift that people have when they're writing, and Shakespeare had that gift. So today, I'm just wondering who you think has the gift of writing of all the people that you know.
Oh, wow, that's difficult to say. I have so many authors whose books, one of the problems with books and with authors is that this happens to so many of them. They write wonderful books, and then they are forgotten. They might write a great book. Comes to mind Douglas Brunt, who wrote Ghosts of Manhattan. Ghosts of Manhattan is a book that I love. I just adore it. But, you know, it was written years ago, and he doesn't get publicity for it today. So unless somebody talks about it, nobody will even think about buying it. And that's what I try to do. I go back and I always talk about books that I think that people should remember. sometimes I will surprise an author. I've called up an author. I called up one very famous author, and I said I had finally gotten her telephone number because she never answered any emails, but somebody got me her telephone number. I called her up, and she was, like, shocked. She said, well, I haven't written a book for years. And I said, I know, but I like your books. And I said, I want you to come on the program and talk about them. But she said, and she repeated, I haven't written a book for years. I said, but your books are great. And she said, I thought people forgot about me.
Wow.
And
yeah,
I was
you
sad.
Know, I'll tell you something, Patsy. That's really the reality of life today, that people, for example, actors and actresses, they play one part in a movie and people, you know, look at them and say, wow, they're great. But if they get older, nobody wants them anymore. Now it's all about young people and all the things that go on the internet. And, you know, the internet is really the place where people find things. So the situation is that life has changed so great that, you know, you could get books online, you can listen to audio books, all these different kinds of ways of doing it. And I'm saying to myself, that's what you should promote. Promote it on Facebook, promote it on all the different social media platforms, because that's what young people especially listen to. So I'm sure you're doing that now, and I'm sure you've had a lot of success with that. Am I right?
Oh, yes. That is what I do. One of the things I do is I do a lot for the authors. I do special promos to put on social media for them. I do it for all sorts of authors. I do it for Nat Geo Books, for example. I have an entire series of Facebook posts that I put on to promote their books for authors. An author like will write a book and then nobody talks about it, but I come back and I will put on social media, I will write about their book, I will put a story about them, and this is like months, even years after they've written their book, and they're most appreciative. That's why one of my goal really is to be able to do I'm doing 2 days a week now. I need to do 5 days a week because I want to take the fifth day and devote it to people whose books are, like, when we talk about old, I mean, they might have been written 2 years ago or 5 years ago, but they're still great books, but nobody's talking about them. So I want that fifth day to be a day to go back and look at the favorites, the great books that you should not miss.
Yeah. Well, today my guest has been Patsy Gill. She is a creator and a host of the nationally syndicated radio show Joy on Paper. Now, it is a program that people across the country look forward to learn about wonderful books, keep track of authors, and discuss books that whet the appetite of the reader. People are reading more, she says, and especially baby boomers and seniors, and they look to Patsy Gill and her program, Joy on Paper, for direction on books that will be of interest to them. And I want to thank you, Patsy Gill, for being on the Susan Brenda podcast. It's been absolutely a pleasure.
Well, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Rick Bava. You know, he is, of course, from Today Senior Magazine. He does the Baby Boomer Corner there, and he really, really helps authors and helps promote books. And I want to thank him so much because not only is he a talented author of his own book about the Baby Boomer generation, but for introducing me to you and to your audience, because I love to cover particularly, I love autobiographies. So anybody who's writing an autobiography, if you've written a book, contact me. I love to bring autobiographies to my listeners.
Well, thank you again, Patsy Gill, for being on the Susan Brenda podcast. It's really, as I said before, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, it's been a joy to talk to you. Bye-bye now.